It's Monday, August 15th, 2011. I'm Ben Bowden, and this is the First Baptist Daily, a daily podcast aimed at the understanding and application of God's Word. The Book of Psalms, or Psalter, is a collection of inspired Hebrew prayers and hymns that serves as the songbook of the people of God in their gathered worship. It is perhaps the most well-known and beloved portion of the Old Testament. It's emotional in nature, and it functions to give worshipers words that will express what the heart feels as one encounters the living God. But the Psalms do more than that. They actually shape the emotions of the godly. The most famous psalm, often read at funerals, is Psalm 23. And that's what we're going to be looking at this week. I love what Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said about this psalm. He said, "This is the pearl of psalms, whose soft and pure radiance delights every eye. Of this delightful song, it may be affirmed that its piety and its poetry are equal. Its sweetness and its spirituality are unsurpassed. These are celestial notes. Oh, that we may enter into the spirit of the psalm as we read it, and then we shall experience the days of heaven upon the earth." Now, this is certainly a special psalm. David is the author, and he wrote about half the psalms. Now, this is in the category of what we call a song of trust. A song of trust. And by that, I mean, it enables the worshiper to deepen his faith in God and to trust Him through times of difficulty. Donald Whitney was a professor of mine at Southern Seminary, and he is the author of a book called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. One thing I picked up from him was a useful tool for memorization, meditation, and application of God's Word. And here's how this tool works. The brilliant thing is that anybody can do it. You simply take a verse of Scripture, and you repeat it over and over, and each time you repeat it, you emphasize a different word or phrase. For example, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you say it again, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then you say it again, "The Lord is my shepherd." You just emphasize a different word every time. Now, the purpose is to think deeply on God's Word, and in so doing, absorb a wealth of riches that would possibly be missed in simply reading over it one time. This is not the technical work of an exegete, but it is a simple and effective way to, as Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So let's do this together with the first part of verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd." First, we see that it is the Lord who is my shepherd. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is not a servant of the Lord, or even an angel of the Lord, but the sovereign God of the universe Himself, who is constantly concerned and committed to taking care of His own sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd." And then look at the next word. "The Lord is my shepherd." Notice the tone of confidence here. There's no if, but, or hope so, but it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We must plead with God to cultivate in us a heart that sings, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." All right, look at the next word. "The Lord is my shepherd." It's been said that we serve a personal pronoun God. In other words, it's not enough to only refer to God in third person. "The Lord is the shepherd," or "Jesus died for sin," or "The Lord loves people," but that we as God's people would wrap our hearts around the truth that "The Lord is my shepherd," that "Jesus died for my sin," and "The Lord loves me." All right, look at the next one. "The Lord is my shepherd." And so David, having grown up as a shepherd boy, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he took an illustration that was very clear in his mind and very clear in his heart, and he compared himself to sheep and the Lord as the shepherd. He knew the needs of the sheep, but he also knew the care of a good shepherd. One guy said this, "How astonishing it is to find the words Lord and shepherd in such proximity. David is asserting that the sovereign ruler of the universe has taken up the menial task of shepherding him." So we see that God Almighty cares for His people. He provides for their needs. He guides them, and He protects them. Now, we've got to make a note here. Not all people should consider themselves the Lord's sheep. Let me say that again. Not all people should consider themselves the Lord's sheep. For the Bible describes unregenerate people not as sheep, but as goats and wolves. So here's the question. Are you a sheep? Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go, and he will go in and out and find pasture. All right. I am the good shepherd, he says. This is all John 10. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know the shepherd? Through his redeeming death on the cross, Christ ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. And for all those who would turn from sin and trust only in him, they'll be saved. That's how you become a sheep. And the sheep have a good shepherd. And when you come to know this shepherd, you can't help but desire to magnify him in all the earth. I'm Ben Bowden, and I'll meet you again tomorrow on the First Baptist Daily.